judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Oh, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh.
He shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh, I said he cometh to judge the earth.
Well, I'd like to take up with our teachings that we're having, and we've been looking at in Ephesians 6, stand fast in the power of his might. And I make no apology for taking my time with this, because we're looking at the verse, we're looking at the words, we're really beginning to understand how the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us. Is the Bible on there? And we're looking in verse 12. We're still looking with verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place or places. Stand fast in the power of his might. And we have this all online on our website for these teachings. As I say, we can't go over all of this, but we are looking at our warfare in this, and we are seeing very clearly whom we fight against, whom we wrestle against. It is Satan, the god of this world, who is soon, shortly, to be put down. We are dealing with sin, rebellion in the heavens. That is what we wrestle against so often in nature. And we looked last time, didn't we, at principalities, which are the powers of darkness. And we note and are showing that these all operate in different levels, different positions, but all of the same goal, to fight against God's people and the church of Jesus Christ. That is their prime goal. And they use anything in this world that they have control over in which to war against the saints. And they can use governments, they can use politics, they can use police, they can use despots, kings, queens, you name it. That's why we have history like we do over the centuries. And much of that history that we look at is corrupt to the core. But I've got good news that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. And he's going to do away with all of that. Hallelujah. But as I say, that is all on tape for us to study. Stand fast in the power of his might. So we are looking at these forces, and we've been looking at the powers of the principalities, and we're now looking at against the powers and rulers and darknesses. So we're against these powers now. And we are seeing the difference, as I said, in ranks, in levels, in how they operate, which Satan controls. Now, these powers, we're dealing here with rulers. These powers are rulers. They are governments. They are, in other words, people who are in authority. They have been given a certain amount of power. And they wield that power, whether it be for good or for bad. And this is why we are called to pray for our governments, to pray for our leaders. We are to pray as a Christian church for the purpose that these powers, these authorities that are given, that are given out, that they are dealt in a fair and right manner. We call it in this country, in the West, democracy. And that's why we pray for democracy. Democracy is the nearest thing until the Lord Jesus comes, in which he will then set up a theocracy, where that means that he will rule and reign. But at the moment, we are under democratic government. And so it is the church's responsibility in which to pray for our governments and for our leaders. This is absolutely vital, brothers and sisters. And I'm afraid at times the church falls very short of this. And the reason they fall short of this is, well, my life is fine. We've got a good government at the moment. We've got good leadership. I'm doing well. I'm prospering. So why do I need to pray? We do need to pray. We need to pray earnestly. What's happening? Because even now in the West, it's all changing. We are seeing the powers of control, witchcraft, working behind the scenes. And yet we find that we can still bury our heads in the sand with regard to this one. And this is why it is important we come together as brothers and sisters in the church with the gifts that God has set in the church, because this reminds us, this stirs us up, that we are in a warfare. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, against powers, principalities, but against these powers, these dominions. Mm-hmm. And the problem we have with this today, and why so many sadly are still burying their heads in the sand to what is coming up, is because they can't control it. We are control freaks in nature. And that is one of the things that God is getting us delivered from.
Amen.
So that we let go and let God be God. And the more you let go, the more you're going to see what God is doing and what he requires of us and how he will help us. But we are never going to enter fully into this warfare that we're speaking about here till we learn to let go by faith and totally walk by faith. Because otherwise, fear is still hindering. And fear will still get you to try and run away and deny that these things are happening and coming. And I just want to say at this point, don't make the mistake, FGA, well, we're all right, we're all going up in the rapture. Mm-hmm. We are, by faith. Mm-hmm. But we still have a responsibility. Yeah. And God is looking to the overcomers to take this one seriously and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and teach us and guide us. Mm-hmm. Because he wants to open our eyes so that we begin to see what we really should be looking at. And it is not flesh and blood, but it's against these powers, principalities, these rulers. Because that is where the warfare is. But we have to be shown first. And very often he shows us in the flesh what is happening, why these things are happening, why we are seeing the spirit of this age beginning to take over, control, witchcraft. Let me give an example. One of the things that attacks the charismatic church today is the spirit of Jezebel. Now, we won't understand Jezebel unless we first begin to see how it's working, what we're seeing. And God opens our eyes to see what is happening, and then we have two choices. We either receive it, that God's showing us this, and I need to get in prayer and warfare or intercession, or I compromise and I bury my head in the sand and hopefully it will go away. But it doesn't go away. And that's what happens in these circles, and sadly in charismatic circles. It's the same with control in a lot of these charismatic churches. It's not just Jezebel, but it's also through the control of eldership. We call it shepherdship, where the flock are controlled by an eldership. And it can all vary in controls, but we've heard of cases where couples can't marry unless they go to the eldership, and the eldership get together and pray and intercede and find whether it's right that that couple marry or not. And I could just go on and on and on with that. And so the people never grow up to be able to have a relationship with the Lord and be able to hear God speak to them. Now, of course we should pray one for another. We should pray for couples if they believe the Lord is joining them together, or whatever it is, or you believe the Lord's causing you to move house, or whatever it is. Yes, it can be brought up in prayer. Brothers, sisters, I would value your prayers for this new job. I value your prayers that this house that we believe the Lord's moving us to is the right one. But it's not about control. It's about us agreeing, seeking the Lord, that our brothers and sister, or whoever's asking for prayer, can be led and hear for themselves that they are being led by the Spirit. That's what it should be in the house of God. Not this eldership that is ordained, so that an elder is over a cell group. And these elders stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. They won't let prophecy take forth in the church. If there's going to be gifts operating, well, it's going to come through the eldership or the pastor. And so then the church itself can't function in those gifts that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 12. It's all stifled, suppressed, and so on. And all you are seeing is another form of Catholicism manifesting itself through. Because all these roads, these religious roads, lead back to Rome. Now, why am I emphasizing all this in the way that I am? Because we need to learn spiritual warfare. Unless we see what denominationalism has done over the centuries, we're never going to be able to see it in the spiritual realm. We have to see it first, or the glimpses or the signs of it, in order then to be able to take it to God, and then God begins to raise us above it. Amen. So that we're no longer, because when we first see these things, yes, we can be shocked. Yes, it can knock us for a second. But once we get over those emotions, we're then free to start to go into warfare. Amen. And the reason so many of our brothers and sisters cannot go into spiritual warfare, because they're still in denial. They're still in fear. They're still worried, or whatever it is. I know it's not easy.
Yeah.
But you've got to get free from that. Yeah. As you can't, you're not effective in warfare. And I cannot stress that enough. And I speak that from one, from experience. I really, really do. And so, you know, we go through our various trials. You know, we talk about our trials. Some of you know the trial I've been going through recently with my car. And the Lord kept saying to me, don't think it strange. Because it was strange. It didn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But I thought, no, Lord, you don't make a mistake or whatever it is. And I had to get over the frustration, the anger. Why is this happening? I cannot believe that this repair can cost that amount. It's nothing but a rip-off. You know, all the usual things, all those emotions. But I thought, you know, I can't pray all the while I'm affected by this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to pray effectively. I can't get to where it's really happening. And that is in the spiritual realm. And when God dealt with me and I got over it, praise God, then I found myself free to start to address this in the spirit, in warfare. And guess what? Within a few days, phone call, you've got a courtesy car. We put you down for a courtesy car. You see, you've got to get beyond self. The emotions, these flesh. This is why I'm always on about these emotions. We are emotional creatures. God has given us these emotions. But boy, can they get out of control. They really, really can. And so we have to get these emotions under control by the Holy Spirit. Then we can start to enter into warfare. And this is why Satan tries to keep us in the flesh, in the carnal, because he doesn't want us entering into spiritual warfare. Why? Because every time you address the powers of darkness, you are dividing his kingdom.
Amen.
That's why. You're weakening him. Mm-hmm. This very teaching today, this very gathering today, is weakening his kingdom. He doesn't want this heard. I know that for a fact by this week, how he's been trying to work. Gives itself away, you see. So we're dealing with these powers, these governments, these rulers, people in authority. Now, what is the Bible's understanding of this? Well, it means these powers, it means the ability of strength, which one is endued with. So it means that you have an experience. You are endued with this strength. That's what it means. It means that these leaders know they have it. They don't have to go and search for it. They don't have to be told. They know they have these powers, and they know how they're going to use them and manipulate. And much of these powers is motivated by finance, money. It is often money that places themselves into power and authority. And we are seeing now, aren't we, how these people who are in authority, these people that have money or whatever, how much we're seeing in the news of it now being exposed and so on. You know, we hear it every week, don't we? People who should know better but have misused the powers and so on. So that's what it means. It also means somebody who's in a judicial position, or a magistrate, or a judge. Powers can be domestic affairs. It can be spiritual leaders. Did you know the Pope has power that's given to him? Yes. So we see these powers, these governments in operation. The word also means a spiritual leader. It can also mean the husband who is over the wife. He has been given that power to look after her and love her and his family. It's a divine authority given. And Satan's trying to break that in the family life. He knows exactly what he's doing. Because we have also been given power and authority in whom? The name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. And he knows that that has been given to us. And he wars against the saints day and night so that we don't wield that power that we have against him. A woman's covering, the head covering which she wears if she prays or prophesies, gives her power on her head. Amen. That's why we encourage this in this assembly. We don't say that women have got to be covered the moment they enter the room. No. That's bondage. But if she is led to pray or prophesy, we encourage to put it over her head because that is now giving her power. What is this power? It's a power that is speaking to the powers of darkness. Don't interfere. Don't put that woman down. Amen. She is used of the Lord. Amen. Now, why is this? Because God knew through history how women would be put down. How women would be mistreated. And a lot of it, yes, has gone on. But like all things, it's all going from one extreme to the other. And so, you know, there's a balance in all of these things. And where is the balance to be found? In the house of God. Hallelujah. But I'm talking of this word powers in light of scripture. A crown is the sign of power that's placed on the head. Well, let's look at some scriptures now. Matthew 7:29. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus was seen as one with authority. That word really means power. He's speaking with power, with authority. There's this idea of the word. Let's look in Matthew 8 and verse 9. Matthew 8 and verse 9. For I also am a man under authority or power, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. That's the centurion. So he's a man under power, under authority. But he's also got power and authority himself. So here we see the idea of these governments. How Roman armies operated. Let's look in Matthew 10 and verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. He gave them authority. He gave them power. God has given the same to the church. He has given you the power to be able to speak to sicknesses and to demons. Here comes again our spiritual warfare. And this is why so many Christians are so confused in all of this. Because they don't understand, they don't experience, they don't see that power, that authority. You see, flesh and blood can't reveal this. This is divinely shown to you. That's why I'm not saying don't just go out and start casting demons. Please don't go and do that. You'll come off the worse. But you have to know your standing, that power, that authority that's been placed on you. You see, and we're all coming into it. We're all learning, brothers and sisters. We really are. How about Luke chapter 4 and verse 6? Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." That's, of course, where he's being tempted. There we are. Authority, power. So Satan has been given it for a reason. But it's going. It's weakening. And it's up to the church whether we believe this or not. It is up to us, brothers and sisters. How about Luke 10, verse 19? Luke 10 and verse 19. "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I give you authority, power. So now we're seeing what we have. And what we have, we are able to address these powers, principalities, over the enemy. Because the Lord's given it to us. "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So there we are. That is our standing that we have in Christ Jesus. That is what he's given to us. No wonder we're in a warfare. No wonder we're wrestling. No wonder the enemy is all the while trying to push us down. Because he doesn't want us wielding this authority and power that God has given to us through his precious name, the name of Jesus, and the blood of the Lamb. That's why. Chapter 12, verse 11 of Luke. Chapter 12 and verse 11. We're still looking at this word power. "Now when they bring you to the synagogues and to magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that hour what you ought to say." In other words, he will anoint, he will empower you, he will give you the words. And believe me, he will. This is why we don't have to justify. This is why we don't have to try and work it out ourselves. God will have it under complete control. Amen. And if you do find yourselves before magistrates, whatever it is, then it's in the will of God. And don't think it's strange. There's a bigger picture, a bigger plan that God's working. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So there is this idea of powers. Now, the next one that we see back in our teaching of Ephesians, we come next, don't we, to rulers. And spending my time going through each of all of these, I found that so many who teach on this give very little with regard to these principalities, these powers, these rulers. And they're not always sure what they are. And you have to experience some of these things. You have to know these things in spiritual warfare, what sometimes you're up against. So, rulers. Well, these are demons. They are demons that rule the world of darkness. They are demons that roam. And this is what it refers to. Let's look at some scriptures first. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 3 and 4. But even our gospel is veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Mm. Here is the idea of the rulers of darkness. These rulers, and they are blinding the eyes of the world. That's their main object, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. They are commanded by Satan in the world of darkness to blind the eyes of the world. Yeah. Now, we can take authority over demonic forces, and I believe that that is why the church is to pray for the world, to pray and intercede for lost souls, to pray for our families, for those who are not saved. That is one of the primary things the church prays on. For what purpose? Because we are coming against these rulers, these demonic forces that blind the eyes of our families, our loved ones, our neighbours, a nation, and so on. And we again have authority over these. Why is it we don't believe? Why is it we still have problems in all of this? Because we still don't understand our spiritual warfare and what we're up against. And so many stop at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. But why are we baptized in the Holy Spirit? We're empowered to be able to. One of the blessings of the baptism of the Spirit is in order to break through in spiritual warfare. And most of the church is absolutely closed to it. And as far as speaking in tongues and warring in the Spirit, they freak out on that one. Why? Because they're not in control. You're not in control when you speak in the Spirit, when you war in the Spirit against Satan. That's the Holy Spirit praying through you.
Amen.
Warring against, pushing the powers of darkness back. You lose most at that point. Isn't it a tragedy? Yet the early church knew what to do. At Pentecost, they knew what to do. It wasn't a problem. And the problem is, it's not taught in the churches. They start in the Spirit and they are finished in the flesh. And we have to watch that one. We all of us have to be on our guard with that one. It's very easy. So there we are. We see the importance of this. Let's look at the Gospel of John. John chapter 12. John 12, verses 31-32. John 12, 31-32. And here we see the triumph of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now is the judgment of this world now, and the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. What is he on about that? He's saying, now the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And he will be cast out when I am lifted up. This is why it's important, brothers and sisters, to lift him up. This is why praise and worship is so powerful, because we're lifting him up. We're acknowledging him. And it's many, many times when you're really worshiping God, you can see healings manifesting. Suddenly demons are cast out or whatever it is, because he's acknowledged, he's lifted up. You are acknowledging he is the one casting him out.
Yeah.
But you've got to experience that, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We're still so much in the flesh and held by the emotions of the flesh. And that's where unbelief is.
Yeah.
But praise God, he doesn't give up on us. He's working with us, raising us up to get above all of this. This is why it's important to worship and praise. I tell you, if you're a preacher, it really helps you. There's nothing worse than if you've got the powers of darkness are really trying to come in and oppress. You've got to try and preach through that. This is why I give time for worship and praise, because it helps you to rise above that. Because the devil doesn't want us to hear what God wants us to hear, you see. And all of this points to Calvary, to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's focal. We never lose sight of it. And sadly, a lot of Christendom loses sight of this. But the sight, keeping our minds and hearts on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, also enables us to be discerning, to be in a place of warfare. And that's what the church must be. So now is the time not to run away, brothers and sisters, from this. We are being trained for this. We're spiritual soldiers being trained. And God is training us. And if you notice, he doesn't give you much time when you want to have a rest. Mm-hmm. Oh, just give me a break. I don't know about you. God doesn't give me much of a break. Here we go. Yes, Lord, I've got it. Yes. He's keeping us marching.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through spiritual drill. We hear the trumpet blowing 5 o'clock in the morning, up. You know, marching, running. He's training us all the time. Thank God he's doing this. Because we'll procrastinate otherwise. We'll always find an excuse. But he's training us. He's keeping us alert all the time. Because we are in spiritual warfare. That is why, brothers and sisters. And that's why our warfare has to become much more specific. It must be discerned. It must be revealed. And that is why we have a gift. One of the gifts that he sets in the church. Never talk much about this one. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Here is a gift that he gives. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. And then kinds of tongues and interpretations and so on. Discerning of spirits. A very important gift to have. Now, some are really anointed, given that gift specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're given it for a reason, to help with the church in discerning what we're warring against. Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
And it's not just given to the pastor, it's given to others. These gifts are there. This is why I always encourage you to seek those gifts or a gift that God is giving to you. And God will always start working because he's put it in your heart. You don't just pick it out the hat. Oh, well, I think I'll have the work in the miracles. Well, you know, I mean, probably we wish it did work like that, but it doesn't. You will know, because God's working. He's leading you toward it, you see, for your ministry. But I encourage you, I appeal to you, don't give up on these gifts. Seek the Lord, go before him, wait on God. Because these gifts are vital for the body of Christ. We depend on these gifts to keep us whole in mind, body and spirit. It's not just left to the pastor to help you. It's the whole church functioning with these gifts, as the Holy Spirit leads and guides. But in this case, we're talking here about the discerning of spirits. And That is what he's giving. And I believe that the discerning of spirits is discerning both good and bad spirits. It can discern what can be of the flesh or what can be demonic and what can be of the Holy Spirit. So I believe the discerning of spirits helps the church not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And I hear sometimes they're blaspheming the hand of God that's working and they're coming against it. God forbid. So we can see how all of this is working. It's also to test the spirits. To test what spirit is in operation. You are to test today what spirit is in operation coming through my mouth. There's not many pastors or teachers would say that one, would they? But you are. And who is central in all this testing, discerning? Jesus himself. He is the revealer. He is the one who brings it to you, you see. So we need to have our eyes, ears and hearts open much more, brothers and sisters. And I believe the time when we're finished with these teachings, God is expecting a lot from FGA through this. So there's responsibility coming with this, brothers and sisters. I'm very, very aware of this. Because I don't know many who are preaching this as it should be. And please, I'm not anyone. I'm simply that mouthpiece of the Lord. Amen. I am that vessel that God uses. Yeah. I wish to God all were preaching, and even more with regard to this. But most sadly are running away. And what causes you to run away is fear. And why is it fear? Because I can't discern it. I can't control it. I hear the pastor saying this, but I don't understand it. And it worries me. Well, God wants it to be your experience. He wants to open your eyes. And we're encouraging how this can be done. So stay with it, like we do. Stay with the word. And God will show you. And you will find yourself being used. You will find yourself rising up in the spirit, in warfare, addressing the powers of darkness. And you will see that change, whether it's individually or corporately. And in our prayer meetings, God's going to suddenly use you and say, brothers and sisters, we're up against this demonic force. I believe this is what this demon is doing. God's giving you insight. He's giving you revelation in that. And praise God what it does when we get insight of that demonic force, we then are quickened in the spirit, aren't we? We find ourselves rising up and coming against the powers of darkness. That's what it should be about. Our prayer meetings should be alive, exciting, ready to come. Warfare, intercession, ready to see the mighty hand of God moving. Our prayer meetings should be miraculous in nature. Not a drudge, like so many of them are, and I used to go to years and years ago. And the only way prayers ever got answered was when they were taken off the prayer list. Because that person had finally died, or whatever it was. That's what our prayer meetings were when I was back in the denominations. It was opening a prayer list. Well, our next on the list is pray so-and-so and so-and-so. That's what our prayers were. God allowed me to go through that to see the difference. Dry, no words could describe it. You know, that's why you only got about two turned up for the prayer meeting, you see. So, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is on the throne. Stand fast in the power of his might. Note, it is his might. He is our armour. Hallelujah. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that when you speak to us, we are also aware that there is a reason for it. Because you are wanting us to rise up and take this challenge. You're wanting us to rise up. Here am I, Lord, use me. And I pray, Lord, that that would be the case. As we are together today in fellowship, in unity and oneness, here we are, we're available. Use us, Lord, for your glory. Teach us, Father, what we are up against. Teach our spiritual hands to war effectively against the enemy. Father, you have given us all authority, power, might and dominion in and through the mighty name of Jesus and through the blood of the Lamb. Lord, how could we doubt this? Help us not to run when the enemy growls, because that's all he can do. He can make a big noise, but he cannot bite us. He cannot destroy us or devour us. You defeated all of that at Calvary. So, Father, we thank you today. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for bringing our brothers and sisters into the room. Lord, bless, preserve and keep each one of us. May we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. May our eyes be firmly fixed, looking to the Lord Jesus and none other. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, mighty God. Hallelujah. Well, I think we ought to sing a few songs to the Lord, have we not? Praise God. There's power in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. There's power in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. There's power in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. The only name I know. There's healing in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. There's healing in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. There's healing in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. The only name I know. Deliverance in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. Deliverance in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. Deliverance in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. The only name I know. There's fellowship in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. There's fellowship in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. There's fellowship in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. The only name I know. Oh, how I love that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. How I love that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. How I love that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. The only name I know. Amen, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Straight, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be. Shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, valley shall be filled.